Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to the Tarot Today radio show on the Psychic Talk Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mary Brown, coming to you live from Amarillo, Texas. And joining me is the fabulous, the one and only Dax Carlisle, president of the Tarot Guild. And we are going to be discussing, he's coming to you live from Tucson, Arizona, and we are going to have a fabulous show for you today. We're going to be playing tarot games with our special guest, James Rickliff. Yes, we are so lucky to have the one and only tarot master, author, deck creator, James Rickliff, coming to us from California. But first, let's bring on Dax Carlisle. Are you
well,
there?
Hi, Mary. I'm here.
Hi.
I'm here. Yeah. Hey, but before we go any further, let me tell them a little bit about you. Certified Tarot Master, Angelic Healing Practitioner, Crystal Reiki Master, Vice President for Certification for the Tarot Guild, and a producer on Psychic Talk Radio. Oh, my God. And then yesterday, we also learned fairyologist because you were the guest with Dr. Rose Wilkerson and myself yesterday talking about the Irish Fae, the she, which is the correct terminology, and we learned all about that. And I wanted to tell everybody, if you missed the show yesterday, it was a hoot. So you really want to go to our archive and check that out at psychictalk.net/archive, psychictalk.net/archive. Go over there and check that out. It was a fabulous show. We had so much fun yesterday. Once we got past the technical problems, there was some audio difficulties. But today, hey, it's crystal clear, Mary.
Yeah, well, I think the Fae were just having fun with us yesterday, just a little bit. But I had such a great time talking to you and Dr. Rose. And I love talking about the Fae. But, yeah, when you use the technology to, talk about them, sometimes things go a little bit haywire, but it's all in good fun.
Well, I especially wanted things to go fairly smoothly because we've got James on today, and, we've interviewed James many times in the past, but, I mean, it's been literally years since I personally got to talk with James, and so this is just going to be so much fun. Plus, it's a fun show. It's a fun topic, not just a dry topic. It's a really nice, fun topic. We planned this show a long time ago, actually. You had James on your Mystical Musings show, and the tarot games concept came up, and you guys said, hey, we got to do another show and talk about tarot games. So, it's been months, and we, put it on the calendar, and little did we know that it was going to be so apropos, so perfect for the situation that we all find ourselves in today. A lot of us are hunkered down in our homes, and, what do you do? Well, thank God we still have things like Facebook calls, Skype, the Zoom platform. Even if we're stuck in our homes, we can still connect with each other via the internet, and hey, we can play games. In fact, we can play tarot games. That's right.
Awesome. Awesome. It's perfect timing, and I think this will be great fun.
Let's bring James on now, our fabulous guest for today, James Rickliff. Yay. The crowd went wild, James.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show. Good. How are you guys?
Doing great. We're so glad you could join us today. This is going to be so much fun. And
yeah,
wow.
I've been looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. We're all
me
holding
too.
Up. You know, there's so much going on. I actually heard from one of our hosts, Sharona Rapsik, this morning, and unfortunately she has to cancel her show tomorrow because of all the stuff that's going on. She's going to postpone that show, and you know, there's just so much going on, so it's nice to have something like this where we can have a little fun and take our minds off what's going on in the world, and especially in the United States right now.
Right.
And especially California. I mean, how are you holding up, James, you and hubby and everybody?
We're doing well. I mean, you know, it's not like you're not locked in your house, you know, so you can't, we go for walks out in the, you know, outside. So, you know, you don't get cabin fever, and you can still go to the grocery store and things like that. So, I mean, it's not too much different. I just don't have social interaction really with the other people in my neighborhood. We just moved here, so you know, we started getting to know other people, and you know, now you can wave to them from a distance and say hi, but that's, you know, you just have to be really careful. So,
wow. Yeah,
so
but that's good,
okay.
Though. So, you know, because like in the rest of the country, I mean, you know, I'm in the middle of Texas here. Well, I'm actually in the top of Texas here. And, you know, we see these stories from California and from New York, and we see, you know, the word lockdown. And it's kind of, it is kind of hard to know exactly what that looks like. So I'm really glad you explained that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you can go to get out in nature. Like,
well,
we need
nature
now.
Well, they could have had a better term for it. Lockdown sounds so scary, like we're behind bars and we can't leave our homes. So, yeah, it's really good that James explained it that way. Don't they have a better term,
I mean,
James, than lockdown?
They don't. That's just a colloquial term. I think that it's I can't remember the exact term, but it's more like sheltering, sequestering, or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, officially they don't call it lockdown because, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like you're forced to stay in your house. It's not like you're
self-quarantining,
you know, under house arrest.
Right.
You know, but but large venues, you know, like going to a restaurant or movie theaters and stuff like that, of course, that's, you know, closed down.
Right.
You know, because that's just, you know, all of those are like little hand grenades waiting to go off.
Thank God we have the technology we do so that we're informed and still connected with people. But, you know, where I live, I'm actually down south of Tucson, only about, you know, 7 minutes, and then, you know, you're in the heart. But we're kind of like at the very edge of the official city, you know, and we're in this gated community. So here, you know, literally I'm doing the radio show, but I'm out on my patio, you know, it's 75 degrees.
Right.
The neighbors are walking by with their dogs. It's like nothing happened. You know, you couldn't tell it from being here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can hear a little bit just in that, because I'm in it's not gated, but it is a community, and there's a clubhouse and a pool and stuff like that. Well, the clubhouse and pool are shut down, locked up, you know, a few things like that, you know.
That makes sense,
Yeah, hopefully things will get back to normal by the time summer rolls around so you can use the pool in the summer. Right now, you know, it's in the 60s, and it's cloudy today, so it's not like anybody would be going playing in the pool anyway.
Yeah.
But
we can play tarot games, sure. You know. And I wanted to send everybody to see your article because you have, you know, multiple things listed there. People can kind of read along while
right.
we're having a chat, you know. And I did put a nice big link on the show page on our blog under upcoming shows. If you're listening in archive, obviously go to the replay in the archive. But if you're listening live, it's psychictalk.net/upcoming, and it's, you know, you'll see the post right there, and click on the link, go over to James's blog and check it out. And you can also Google it too. I tested that out to make sure it would come up. If you type in James Rickliff tarot games, your article pops right up, James. So everybody can go check that out.
Okay.
And let's talk some games and stuff.
If people just go to the blog, it is a drop down from the tarot articles tab. You'll get to tarot games that way too. Yeah.
Awesome. And I think we should mention that we are, you know, a live call in show. If anybody wants to call in, we probably do have some room in the queue right now, and that number to call is area code 714-816-4628. Again, number to call, 714-816-4628. Press 1 on your dial pad to raise your hand so we know that you want to be on the air with us.
Okay. Right. So you want to talk about some of the specific tarot games?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think, you know, it's a new concept for some people, and so they're kind of, you know, somebody asked me, like, well, what does that mean? Is that like playing, like, Tarocchi, or what is that? And
Yeah. I don't talk about that because that's kind of Tarocchi, in case anybody's wondering, is basically sort of like playing bridge, but with tarot cards.
Mm.
You know, I mean, that's a very simplistic explanation of it, but that, you know, it's that kind of a game. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about very different kinds of games. And there are several of them. There are quite a few of them on my page, but I'd like to focus on a few that I've had the most fun with and that I think are really valuable. One is called the Tarot Story. And to just give you a brief overview of how you play it, if you have a group of people, and I've done this with both large and small groups, you have the first person pull the card from the deck, and they use it to start a story, okay? They look at the card, and they say, okay, they say to themselves, well, that looks like, you know, something's going on, and it kind of inspires them to start a story. Like if it were the Knight of Swords, you could say, once upon a time there was a knight, and he heard that there was a dragon, and he decided that he should go out and slay it. You know, and then the next person will pull a card, and then, you know, based on what they see in that card, they'll go on. So you go through, you know, around the circle, and hopefully then by the end you try to tie it up, have the last person, the last couple of people maybe trying to tie up the story and try to end it. I mean, it's not necessary. You could just keep going around and around the circle until you get to a spot where somebody says, and then this happened, the end. you generally end up with, it's fun. You're telling a story, and everybody else, while one person is telling their part of the story, everyone else is listening to the story. So, you know, it's very fun to do it that way. It's also illuminating to see how people interpret what's on their card and use it to further the story. You know, so you get insights about the people, the end of it, you know, so it can be a very good group exercise to like if you have a group of people that are in some sort of organization or something, this will give them a way to just kind of a fun way to learn about each other. But it also brings out insights about the cards that you may never have thought about or heard before. And for people who are never heard about the tarot, because I've done this with a group of people where almost everyone was completely tarot naive. They did not know anything about the tarot. So it's kind of, they can do that too. They just look at the picture and say, oh, if this were a picture illustrating a story, what would the story be doing at this time? So it's kind of a non-threatening way to expose them to tarot cards.
I love it. You know what that reminds me of is I used to go to this poetry night where at the end we would do a group poem, and it was like everybody would just come up and add a line to what somebody else wrote. You know, so it's kind of the same idea, but with tarot cards, it's easier. You actually have an image to work with and not just off the top of your head. I love that idea.
Yeah.
You know, way back when we were first starting out, so it's like the early 2000s in San Diego, and we'd have our local meetings, and we'd finish up our meetings that way, only what it was a kind of a mass reading. Everybody that was attending would pull a card, and we'd keep adding cards and information until we got this mass meeting. That's the first thing I thought of when you guys said that.
Awesome. That sounds fun.
Right. I used this once when I went with my husband to this retreat that he was in this, an acting group. Okay, so it was kind of more complex than that. And so one evening, Ben, I said, you know, how about if we do this? And so that's the case where I said, pretty much nobody knew anything about tarot. And so I suggested we do this, and we did. We sat down, we went around, and everybody had a great time. They really enjoyed it. Nobody stumbled and said, well, I have no idea how to do this because I don't know tarot, you know. So, yeah, and it was a kind of a way for them to all get to know each other better, too, and have a fun way to do that.
That's really cool. And we can do that, you know, online. We could do that Skype, you know, all those different ways. That,
right.
You know, Dax is more that you and Dax are both more technically versed than I am, but it seems like we have multiple different ways that we can, you know, set something
so
up
many
like
ways.
That.
Right. You don't have to do it in person. You could do it in a Zoom room or a Skype group or something like that. Have one person be the central person that has a deck of cards and pulls the card, and you know they pull a card for the next person in line in the group, and they can hold it up so everyone can see it and say, this is the next card, and so then the next person goes on that. So yeah, you can do this as a social kind of thing without having to all be in the same place, you know, so you can have that social distancing.
Yeah.
Right.
And the tarot deck just winked at me earlier when you were talking, James, about how to do that particular game. And you said, for instance, if you pull the Knight of Swords and you started the thing out, and I thought to myself, if I picked a card, how would I continue that? So I cut the deck in half and I got the Knight of Swords.
Synchronicity.
And I'm like, oh, the tarot is winking at me here.
Said, yes, you really can do this. Okay.
That's
what,
funny.
What other kind of games can we play? Yeah. I wanted to ask you this, like, you know, because there's some people that, you know, maybe they're sitting home alone and they just have their decks and they're, you know, this is how I picture like a lot of my friends, you know, that they're just doing readings on all these different things going on and like, you know, they could use a break, do something else with their deck. Yeah. Are there any games you can sort of play by yourself?
Tarot Solitaire?
Well, all of them that I've described are intended to be played in a group. You know, some of them you can play by yourself. For example, the tarot story, you could do that. You could just tell yourself a story by pulling another card and then seeing where the story goes from there. That kind of
thing. Oh, yeah.
You know, so you could do that one by yourself. Some of the others you can't really do by yourself because they're more like, not that the rules are the same, but they're more like, you know, playing charades, you know. You can't do that by yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And so,
right.
You know, a couple of them are where one person does something and the group tries to guess, you know, stuff. So the who, what, and why tarot story and the court card characters games, those you can't really do that way. Tarot Rummy, which is of all these, is my favorite. You kind of have to do that in a group of more than at least three people. But you could do the Tarot Prosperity game. We can come back and talk about the Tarot Rummy. I'd like to talk about that one more. The Tarot Prosperity game, which I have posted here, which is one that James Wells described, and so I got it from him, so I want to, you know, give him a little shout out about that. In that one, it's about trying to find out how you feel about prosperity. So you would, instead of each player being dealt four cards, you would just deal yourself four cards, and then you'd turn up one of them and say, okay, talk about how that card in terms of your challenges regarding financial prosperity. And then instead of having everybody go around and do that, then you would, you know, so
that makes
each
sense.
Card, instead of going around the circle and each person talking about their card, you would just do that all by yourself. So the first card is, what are your challenges regarding financial prosperity? The next one is, what does prosperity really mean to you? And then the third one is, what can you do to achieve greater prosperity over the next time frame, however you want to define that, the next month, the next 6 months, the next year, whatever. And then the fourth card is a little tougher, because that one, each player interacts with the person next to them, and their card says, my prosperity wish for you is. But you could say that your prosperity wish for yourself is this card. And then you could look for common themes, recurring symbols, etc. So you can do
that, love that,
you know, by yourself. Same with comparing tarot snapshots. That's one that another one that I like, that one was inspired by the book Back in Time Tarot by Janet Boyer. And the rules for that one are that the group decides on a person or event with which they are all familiar. It can be something in the news, pop culture, it's your common set of experiences. But in this case, it can just be, if you wanted to play it on your own, just something that you thought of. So you look through your deck and you try to find a card that resonates for you with your impression of that person or event. And then in a group setting, everybody goes through their deck, and then going around in the circle, each person shares what card they picked and why, and then you discuss that. Now, one thing that I want to point out for this one, instead of dealing a card, you know, like you deal cards, right? You look through your deck. So instead of a random thing getting a card, it's an intentional one. But I see it as a intuitive thing, where you're not thinking about each card, you're just very quickly leafing through the cards until one kind of jumps out and says, oh, you know, I just have a gut feeling that this is the one I should use. Okay. So you can do it that way. You can do that either in a group or as a person. We might want to try playing that one, if we have time. We might want to try playing that one here based on the current, coronavirus epidemic and all the stuff that's going on with it. That could be something that, if we have time, we can do that here.
Okay? That sounds fun. Yeah, one thing that kind of just like my ears really pricked up, they're on my head, they're working. But the tarot rummy, is that something you could like tell us how to do? I love playing rummy, and I bet there's, families at home that are like, what do we do?
I'm the opposite. I don't even know how to play regular rummy, let alone tarot rummy.
Well, you don't at all need to know how to play regular rummy. It's just called tarot rummy, but it's not really. Okay. So for tarot rummy, let me briefly go through that. So you start off by each person in the group. Let's say you have a group of five people. Okay. Each person then is dealt five cards. You're dealt the same number of cards as there are people in the group. Okay. So then you pull up, you have your hand of cards. Okay. And you look at them and you then look. So you spend a little bit of time, each person looking around the group, looking at the cards and saying, okay, this card I would assign to Mary. This card I would assign to Dax. This card I would assign to Joe. This card I would assign to, Fred or whatever. And this last card is the card that I would keep and assign to myself. Okay, so it's a bit of a challenge, and the way that you assign them could be anything. Just intuitively that it kind of resonates. It could be this card. One card might be. Its meaning might associate with that person, or visually it might associate with that person, or something like that. But you don't need to know how to play and how to do anything with tarot cards. Because, again, I've done this one. I did this one once in a party, and almost nobody knew anything about tarot. And we sat down and played this game, and I'll describe how you play it. Don't worry, I'll get there. And the party had wound down. I think there were like seven, maybe eight people left, and I suggested we do this. It was about midnight. 3 o'clock in the morning, we were done.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was very engaging. So how you do it is this. The first person then pulls one of the cards, and let's say it's the card that I have assigned to Mary. And let's say that I got one of the cards that I got was the Three of Cups. So I say, okay, Mary, I pulled the Three of Cups. I pulled that to you because I feel like you're very gregarious. You're very friendly. Plus your radio show, you're having me on the radio show. And so I feel that that's a very social kind of thing, interaction and so on, and whatever else, I may have to say about that. So I hand you that card. I tell you why I picked that card. And then when I'm done, you can then say why you think that is appropriate for you. Or you may say, wow, that's really interesting. I never thought of myself that way. But, that's really cool that somebody else does, see that in me. Okay. And then you then say, okay, let me see. I'll take this card, some card that you have assigned to somebody else in the group, and you give him or her that card and say, I pulled this card for you. Same thing that we just did. I pulled this card for you. This is why. And that person reacts and discusses. And then that person then, pulls a card and does it for the next person. So you go around until you have all the cards laid out except the one for yourself. Then you just go around the circle and each person lays down the card and says, this is the card that I held out for myself. This is why. I I kept this card for me. And you go around the circle. And it gives people a great way to interact with each other, to tell each other, you know, how they feel about, you know, things. Oh, by the way, one rule is really keep it positive. You know, don't say, oh, I pulled the Knight of Swords for you because I think you were an opinionated son of a gun, you know, or something. You know, don't do that. Try to keep it positive. But anyway, so then you have this. So it's really a great way to get to everybody in the group to get to know each other better. Then when you're done, you have this pile of cards that everyone has given you their card for you, and you put down your card for yourself, and you can lay them out. You can say, wow, this gives me this perspective of who I am from outside, because we never really get that very well. You know, we all think of who we are based on our own thoughts about ourselves, and maybe based on our hopes and fears about what other people think about us, but not what they really do think about us, you know, and how they see us. So it's a great way to learn more about yourself.
I love that. So it's working on several levels there. You're having the fun and the game and the interaction, but you're really relating to each other too.
Right. So you're learning about other people, but you're also learning more about yourself. So that's why this one's my favorite. I love this one.
You know, what just pops into my head about that's so interesting is, you know, I think for, you know, I work for a reading service, and I think for a lot of us on that service, one of the number one questions we get is like, you know, what does he really think of me? What does my boss really think of me? You know, so people are, you know, they're curious about that. And yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we don't really get that information very often, you know, to know what others really feel. I love it.
And just, I need to point out that this game I was told about by Mary Greer. So on my website, I have a link then to her blog post where she describes the game. So she describes it just a little bit differently than I do, but basically it's,
yay, Mary.
It's the same. Yes.
Awesome.
So, and
that's awesome.
I mean, again, I have played this, like I said, at a party where nobody knew tarot. We also played this once at Reader's Studio. I can't remember which one, but I think it was like 10 years ago or something. So, of course, in that case, everybody knew a lot about the cards. And in either case, it works, you know, very, very well.
Yes. So, oh, that reminds me of something, James, because you said it might have been 10 years ago at the Reader Studio. And I just thought it was interesting how we just had our 10-year anniversary of being on radio, our first radio show. Tarot Today Radio.
It's been 10 years.
And this is the funny thing is the anniversary was just in January. We brought the name back about halfway through January or towards the end. We decided to start calling our Saturday show here on the network Tarot Today Radio again. You know, we just thought it was perfect, you know. And you're like one of our first guests we ever had on the show. So I feel like we've come full circle in 10 years now.
It's amazing.
Okay. Well, hopefully, you'll be able to have me on 10 years from now for another 10-year anniversary show.
That would be great. Yeah, 20 years. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh,
I've already been doing the Tarot Guild for 16 years now. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
So you described the Rummy and the story game. Do you want to, is there any other ones you want to go, describe how you play it, the ones that really stick out that, you know, that you really like?
Well, I talked about the Tarot Prosperity game when we were talking about, you know,
right.
So you can play
that's true.
By yourself.
Forgot about that.
Instead. So that one.
James Wells.
Yes, James Wells. And I talked about comparing tarot snapshots. which you can play either in a group or individually. Another one that I didn't talk about yet is the Tarot Texas Hold'em that I heard about indirectly by way through Rachel Pollack. That one is a little more complex. I would refer people to my blog page to read about that one. But that one tends to be more sort of a way that you can, in a group, everybody do a reading for themselves based on cards that they're dealt, with some common cards in the middle that everybody's using. Briefly, you start off by dealing two cards in the middle that everyone is going to use for their the basis. It's basically, you know, in the Celtic cross, the two central cards, you know, the situation,
oh, wow,
issue and the challenge. But everybody, of course, will interpret them differently,
right,
for their own, for themselves. So you have that, and then you deal everybody some more cards to build on that. And so you kind of do readings for yourselves piece by piece within the context of a group. So you get feedback on that and stuff like that. But it is a little more complex, and I'd rather have people just look that up. The other one is just my fortune cookie tarot game. And basically, when you get a fortune cookie and it has a fortune, and so, I mean, this is usually a group thing because you're usually, you know, out to dinner or something, not in the current situation. And everybody has their fortune, and you read the fortune, and then you say, okay, what tarot card would I associate with that fortune? That makes sense. That you can play.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, I almost giggled out loud when you said, you know, mostly you get a fortune cookie when you're out to dinner with a group of people, which we can't do now. And I thought, except for some of us that buy a box of fortune cookies from the store and eat them all ourselves. That would be me.
Oh. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Okay, that I wasn't thinking of, but you can have takeout, of course, still. So give you a couple of examples. One fortune that I got was work on ideas that are creative and can bring fine results. I would like to note that fortune cookies tend to be more like philosophy cookies or advice cookies more than they are fortune cookies anymore. But
yeah.
That one, work on ideas that are creative and can bring fine results, reminded me of the Three of Pentacles. Okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that when you said you were describing it. But then I thought, what else could that be? I don't know. A sword.
I'll give you another one, and you can tell me. You guys both. Be careful in whom you share your confidence. Which card do you think? And then I'll tell you what I had picked. Any ideas?
Well,
who
it
wants
just
to go
it
first?
Popped into my... I don't know. Dax, you go first.
the first thing that popped in my mind was the Seven of Swords.
Seven of Swords. Oh, I can see that. That's the one where the guy is stealing away with several swords. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that... So why do you, I mean, I know why I think that would be a good one. Why do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it's just the first thing that popped in my head. It's like it was a natural match to me. It's, it could be deception, you know, so it just kind of fit for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
What about you, Mary? Did you think of anything?
Yeah.
I did, you know, and it's probably way off base, but, you know, the High Priestess popped into my head because I always think, like, you know, she's not going to tell you everything. You've got to, like, look within to get those. And so that's kind of how I thought of it, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see that. Or perhaps even the Hierophant. you know, because priests are who you tell your secrets to. You know, there's that.
Oh, yeah.
For the Catholic Church, you know.
Yeah.
The one that I picked was the Page of Swords, and I picked that one because Page of Swords is often interpreted as vigilance.
Mm. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Aw, cool. I wish I would have thought of that one. Can I have yours?
It's really interesting to do that because then you see what other people think, how their minds work, how they associate.
Right, and you get other perspectives of the cards that you might not have had otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is so cool.
So,
that was fun.
So that's, see, tarot games can be fun.
Yeah. We're putting a game in tarot games. We're having fun here.
Right. So I was wondering if you would like to play one of these games with either just the three of us or, you know, any of the callers or something like that. I was thinking either the tarot story or comparing tarot snapshots. What do you think?
I'm really bad at stories, so I would be like, oh, my God, talk about pressure. What was the tarot snapshot one again? I forgot about it. That was from...
I'll go. Yeah, that one was kind of inspired by Janet Boyer's book, Back in Time Tarot. Yeah. The rules of the game are the group decides on a person or event or situation that they're all familiar with. It can be something in the news, someone or something in the news, in pop culture, something within their common set of experiences. Okay? So each person looks through their deck very quickly to find a card for them that resonates with their impression of this person or event or situation, and choose the first card that kind of that your gut feeling is, okay, that one seems right. Okay. And then you go around in a circle and each person shares what card he or she picked and why they picked it. And then once they do that, then other people can discuss what significance they see in that particular card. Then the next person takes their turn.
Mm.
Okay. So that gives you
so that's
a way
the one that you suggested for the coronavirus situation.
Right. Right.
That would be a cool thing to do.
The only drawback to doing that on a radio show is that I don't think you want to have dead air. And it takes a while to go through your deck to pull something.
Mm. You know what I was wondering about that, and it's kind of a weird thing, but, you know, could we also pull a card intuitively on it?
That kind of is what I meant. You look through your deck.
It's kind of the same thing, yeah.
And you wait, and as you're looking through, you go, when one of the I just got one.
I only got one. I'm going through the deck, and I'm like, it jumped out at me. I don't know why, but go ahead, James.
So since we already did that, we can do this we can do this with the three of us. And if any of the people listening want to look through and find one, then they can do that also. But while I'm talking about my card and Dax is talking about his card, if you, Mary, want to look through and find one for yourself.
I just got one.
Okay. Did you want to
start,
Dax?
Good. So I got the Hanged Man.
Okay.
You know, and I was doing what you said. I was literally going through the deck face up really fast. I mean, really fast.
Uh-huh.
You know,
right.
I'm very analytical. I usually take a lot longer to to pick anything. You know, I'm like the worst person to ask to choose something. I'm like, no, you choose because it'll take me an hour. You know, it's like I want to go to restaurants that have, okay, do you want meal A or meal B? That is, you know, if we were allowed to go to restaurants. Anyway, I'm zipping through the deck, and the hangman just popped out at me. I just stopped there intuitively. I really did not know why initially. And so then I'm looking at it as we've, you know, just been discussing right now, and I started going, oh, okay, well, it makes a lot of sense. There's massive delays. We feel like we're hung up. We can't, we can't do what we normally do. So we're, we're kind of in that either delayed or, you know, literally hung up situation, you know. But then more than that, I started to get things like, this situation is making us look at the world in general and our own personal situations upside down, 180 degrees backwards from how we normally would look at it and look at it in new ways and think outside the box and things like that. Yeah. So that's what I've been getting.
I could also see that it's that we just have to realize it's kind of a waiting game. You know, it just will take time, and you know, be patient, and you know that yeah, we have to kind of put a lot of things into the word I want to use is suspense, and I don't mean suspense like a suspense movie, you know, suspenseful movie. I mean suspended. You know, you just kind of have to hang it, put it up on a hanger and let it, you know, hang there for a while, because you're not going to be able to, there are things that you can't do for a while now, you know.
I'm just fascinated how I, you know, like intuitively just stopped at that card. And then the more I thought about it, the more I got from it. And also just the fact that, you know, this whole health crisis means different things to different people. But to me, this is the most important or the most focus of what it really means to me is just the suspension is what I'm feeling. Yeah.
That,
what about you,
Mary? That card. That. Oh, sorry.
No,
oh,
go,
no
ahead.
Go ahead.
That card also is one of the three cards. There are three cards in the majors. There's the one that's numbered 3. There's the one that's numbered 12. 1 plus 2 is 3. And 21. Okay? That one's 12. And so all three of those I see as different, higher and higher vibrations of love. You have the Empress, the love of a mother or a wife. The 12 card, the hangman, is that sort of love of other people that you're willing to have self-sacrifice in order to help the greater good. And there's a huge aspect of that. Because I know a lot
doing.
Of people are,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, well, I can't go out. You know, that's terrible that I can't go out and do things or, you know, whatever. And it's like, well, you know, you're kind of saving people's lives, you know, because... I don't know how much you've heard, you know, so you kind of want to flatten that curve of infection so that you don't have everybody trying to go to the hospital all at the same time. You know, you're spreading that out. So you're everybody's being called to make some amount of self-sacrifice so that for the good of the whole, the good of other people. So that's another aspect of it that I'm seeing too. That we have to realize. I'm sorry, Mary, was there any other perspective on the hangman?
No. You know, the one thing that I would say that's really fascinating to me, it's not so much about what the card means, but it's just I've been hearing from other readers and even myself, I think, you know, some of us are pulling cards on, you know, the latest situation, right? I'm hearing from other readers that the hanged man is coming up a lot for them right now.
Really?
And,
oh, wow.
you know, and everybody's like, you know, wow, why is that? People are seeing that image in different different ways, you know. But I love what you and Dax are saying about it, because I think that's a perspective not everybody's thinking of, you know, those aspects of it. And how fitting. I just
well, it gives
so
us
fitting
such
to
the
me.
Opportunity to look at the situation in different ways. You know, we always at first look at things in the terms of lack, but then there's always the other side of the coin. Look at how much fossil fuel pollution is not being put into
right.
the atmosphere, because we're all, you know, not flying around, not driving around, all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I the other day I said, hey, I'm thankful for I'm not using all my laundry soap up, because I'm not doing as much laundry, because I'm not going out, because I'm not using clothes, because I'm not going out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at things more positively.
Yeah.
So what did you get, James, for your card?
The one that came up, and I'm going to give you positive aspects of it, don't worry, is the Ten of Swords.
Woo-hoo.
Okay? And of course, a superficial way of looking at it is, you know, we're all going to die, you know. And that's not – you know, I mean, the Ten of Swords for me has one thing is information overkill. You know, just – there's a warning against just reading every article you ever see or every comment on Facebook that you ever see about the coronavirus, because it's tempting to, because you're just fascinated with it. But there's some point at which you have to say, okay, I you know, should just look at the things that are really important of what to do or whatever, and all the rest of it is just going to just bog you down. It's going to be very emotionally debilitating to have all that information. You know, there's also the aspect on this one that, you know, things are darkest before the dawn. You know, so things are looking pretty dire now, but that there will be a dawn. There will be a new day coming up. Yeah. I'm using my own Rider-Waite Smith 2.0 deck, which
I want to give you big props for, by the way. Love that.
Yeah.
You.
It's awesome.
But anyway, on that one, on the Rider-Waite Smith, that way that she did it, what people don't usually notice is that the guy with all the swords in his back is lying there, and his hand is in the mantra of blessing. If you look at the Hierophant, the Hierophant is holding his hand up with two fingers being the pinky and the ring finger being held down by his thumb, the other two fingers up. That's a sign of blessing. Well, this guy on the Ten of Swords, that's what his hand is like. And when I did the Rider-Waite, the RWS 2.0, deck, the first thing that I did with every card was clean up all the line image, and I made it very much more clear so that all those sorts of details do show up. And so you look at that and you go, there you have to realize that, you know, like you were talking about with the Hangman, that there are blessings within all of this. It's not just all, you know, being stabbed in the back.
Yeah.
So
I love that. I love that way of looking at the Ten of Swords, because you're right. It is a card that a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to see that one.
It also means, oh, come on, aren't you being a little bit overly dramatic?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, because
that's
one of the first things
I got. You know, I thought about is like, you know, for me, a lot of the tens in tarot are overkill, because, you know, I always think more as a numerologist, and there's only nine numbers. Ten is just one plus zero. Right. It's just one. You know, so I think of it as kind of overkill, and a lot of the media overkill, the maybe a little bit over response. To the virus, and there's a lot of aspects to that, but I also like the the you know, a new day is dawning in the background idea too.
Right.
This too shall pass.
Yeah. Yes. So, and new beginnings. I mean, tens are about new beginnings because 10 numerologically reduces to one. That this is going to be a new beginning.
Right.
You know, to
plus
have that
I look
hope
at it as,
for that.
You know, end of a cycle, beginning of a cycle. When I get the Ten of Swords, that's one of the first things I tell people, because when they look at the card and they're about to freak out, I go, okay, so a cycle has ended and another cycle is going to begin, you know, and then I talk about things. But the thing is that however things turn out, however we look at this current health crisis, it is like one cycle is ending and another cycle is beginning.
Right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I got go ahead.
No. What'd you get?
The card, I got the Four of Swords. And, you know what?
Okay.
The first thing that just popped into my head is that, you know, even if we maybe weren't thinking of it or feeling it, but I feel like maybe we do need a rest. You know, maybe we do need to kind of refresh our mindsets. Maybe we do need to just kind of hang up the swords for a while, you know, lay down. And, you know, also the Four Swords, a lot of times, oddly enough, has this idea of like organizing your thoughts to me. And I think that, you know, a lot of what you're saying with, like, you know, things being overkill and people, like, reading everything that they can and, you know, everything just being, you know, too much that we're taking in. I feel like, you know, I saw that Four of Swords and I was like, pull yourself together, man. You know, like, you know, just lay down, just, you know, relax, refresh, recover. And that idea of recovering, because I feel that, you know, a lot of what's going on is we're seeing that, you know, we need to slow down. We need to take it easy. And by doing that, you guys were talking about, like, you know, we're not using all the fossil fuels and stuff. But the planet gets a chance to recover while we do that. It's like, give it a break.
Yeah.
We're giving it a break, you know. And the other thing that I thought about that was really kind of interesting is, you guys are, you know, you're familiar with, I don't know if you use or have the Voyager deck. And, you know, one of the meanings that the Voyager gives us with the Four Swords is this idea of logic, of using reason and intellect to make our decisions instead of panic, right? He compares it to like the inner structure of a crystal, you know, like that organization, that internal organization. And so it just kind of popped up to me when I saw it as I was going through the deck. Like, yeah, we need to relax. We need to just refresh.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Regroup.
Yeah.
Good. Wow.
I think it's also interesting how if you actually look at the little white book keywords for the Four of Swords, you know, rest, recuperation, it actually says hospitalization in there.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, wow.
Oh, my
okay.
God. I didn't even remember that. Oh, my goodness. How weird.
Yeah, I remember that's in there.
Another thing to look at when you're doing this is you can compare all the cards that everybody picks. Look at the three cards that we picked, the Hangman, the Ten of Swords, the Four of Swords, all of them are cards of inactivity.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, when you said Four of Swords, Mary, that was the first thing that popped in my mind, was that it was so similar to my card, the Hanged Man, where it's a delay or a what's the right word for it? You know, a
like limbo.
Yeah, suspension of activity. But then, you know, the Ten of Swords is as well. But, you know, there's definitely no activity going on there.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
what else can we derive from looking at the three of them? I'm looking at them right now, and I'm just trying to see if there's anything else. Notice there's, out of the three cards, a predominance of swords. A lot of mental stuff going on with this. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm kind of stunned. I'm like, whoa.
Me too.
This game is for real, man. Wow.
I like that.
Wow.
You know, and it's interesting how a lot of the games, there's like more to it than it's fun. It's a game, but then there's a practical aspect to it. You know, you're getting more out of it than just gameplay. I was thinking
right.
of that when you were talking about the Texas Hold'em one. That's what popped in my head was that, you could do like group mass readings this way, and not just be a game, but like a real reading with a group, you know, and it's just put together this way and just following the rules of the Texas Hold'em tarot game there thing. I thought that was fascinating too, you know, and you know, there you go again. It's like, you know, a lot of these can, you know, some of them are more just a game, but some of them there's a practical aspect to it, you know, and you get more out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nifty. Wow, we're
like,
at the
like
end of the show already. Holy cow.
See, I told you it would go.
I was going to say,
it would fly by. And
hey, time flies when you're having fun. My goodness.
That's right.
So I feel like because we are at the end of the show, I should mention what's coming up on the network before the show's over, just really quick.
Sure.
Just wanted to let everybody know, you know, like Dax said, you know, we're not going to be having Sharona's show tomorrow, but she will be back, I think, April 12th with her Magic Universe show. But in the meantime, our next show will be Monday, March 23rd, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and it'll be the Wisdom of the Soul show with your host, Janice Fuchs, and that will be followed by the Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance Show with your host, Catherine Hahn, and she's going to be talking about reclaiming your power. Call in and talk to Catherine about how to reclaim your power. And then Dax will be back with Dr. Rose on Friday, March 27th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the Doctors Are In Show. And they will be having open lines and tarot mini readings all show long. So since we didn't get the calls today, you will definitely have a chance to call in with your questions on Friday. And then also on next Saturday, Dax and I will be back with our Tarot Today show, and we'll be doing our Psychic Spin episode, pulling cards on the coronavirus, seeing what what wisdom there is from the tarot. And what's really cool is like we got a little bit of that today too, playing a game. So it sounds like the tarot does have
a lot of
guidance. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, James, we do this segment of the show like once a month, usually the last show of the month, where we pick something that's been in the news all month, and you know, the talking heads on the news programs and everything, they can talk about it, but they can't do what we can do. We can put a psychic spin on it. That's why we call it Psychic Spin. And we can pull some tarot cards. Sometimes I can even do some numerology on it if there's numbers or dates involved. And it's a lot of fun and interesting, you know. So we kind of got a head start, Mary, today.
Right.
I love it. It's so interesting. So fascinating. And that's the thing, you know, it's like right now, you know, things are uncertain and unsure. And, you know, the news is sometimes, you know, confusing and, you know, but, you know, everybody out there with a tarot deck, you know, you've got a tool right there to help gain some insight, you know, and whether it's on like the bigger issues or whether it's just on you and how you can best deal with things. You know, don't forget to use your tools, people, whether they're tarot deck. Now's the time. Pull out the arsenal. Help yourself. Self-care.
That's right. And whether that's doing an actual reading or playing a tarot game, you know, go over to James's blog. Remember, everything's linked from the show page, James's blog. That particular article is also linked as well on the games, and, you know, check it all out. And also, you know, props to James Wells, you know, go check out him and Mary Greer, Rachel Pollack, all the fabulous people that have shared
these
different games with James. And Janet Boyer, yes, don't forget Janet, Back in Time Tarot. Love that as well. Janet was, after James, Janet was like the next fairly well-known big-name person that came on to the show 10 years ago. We need to have Janet on next, I guess. Keep this theme going here.
Yeah.
Coming full circle. But, oh, my God, it was so great talking with you, James. It's been, you know, for me, it's been years.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me on the show. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Glad I did that.
I'm glad we did it.
Me too. I'm going to, and again, like Dax said, you know, check out the links on the show page to James's website and his tarot games thing, because I want to play Rummy, even though it's not Rummy, but it sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do something while we're stuck in the house.
I'm sorry, I just noticed that in the chat room on thetarotguild.com, our brand new website that we launched, it's a social networking site. I call it Facebook for Tarot, and we use the chat room on thetarotguild.com during the radio shows, and Jason Spillman is in there, and he said, let me see if I can read this, I got the Eight of Pentacles, time to work on things that you have been neglecting.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was fascinating.
Oh, that's great advice. I love that card, too. And it's so helpful. You know, eights are about abundance, right? You know? And we've got skills we can put to use.
Okay.
Awesome.
Good.
Well, we have to have you back, James. And hopefully it'll be, I don't know, post-crisis. And we could do something else fun.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for being here. And thanks, Mary.
Thank you, Dax. Thank you, James. And thanks to all our listeners out there and on the chat room. And whether you're listening live or you listen later in archive, we wouldn't have a show without you.
And we will see you all next week. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye,
Mary.
Thank you.
Bye, Mary.
Bye, John.
Good night, John.